Bucks fans, welcome to the Ira Kaufman podcast, starring the custodian of Canton himself, Mr. Ira Kaufman, Tampa Bay's only Hall of Fame voter. I'm Steve Isbitz, and I'm here with, of course, Ira. And it's Tuesday when we kick off the podcast for the week. Of course, we're going right after the heart of the matter on this podcast presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Ira, disappointing day Saturday, man. John Lynch booted by Morton Anderson, which has Bucks fans pulling their hair out, smashing remote controls, breaking windows, hopefully not kicking too many pets. Unbelievable.
And sacked by Jason Taylor.
Sacked by Jason Taylor, who, sure, he's a nice candidate, but is he Simeon Rice? If you're picking teams, do you pick him over Simeon Rice, who can't get a sniff? I just have one question for you, Ira. That's the question on the minds of fans across Tampa Bay. What the hell happened Saturday?
Disappointed is not the word, Isbitz. It is not the word. Look, I went in that room and I spoke at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And by the time I finished my 7-minute presentation and we went around the room for about 5 to 10 minutes for open discussion on John Lynch. And at that point, you know, we moved on to the next candidate and I was feeling golden. I thought Lynch was in. Because he had more support than Brian Dawkins, which was a direct competitor. He'd been waiting a long time. He was a defensive player, and I thought at least a defensive player would get in because people reminded everybody that there is a disparity between offensive and defensive players in the Hall. Offensive players gained them by quite a bit. I was feeling great. Made the final 10 as expected. And then, you know, they count down that final five alphabetically. Here we go. Morton Anderson. Terrell Davis. Well, I'm waiting for the next name.
Here comes Mr.
And it
Lynch.
Says Jason Taylor, followed by Tomlinson and Warner. When he said Jason Taylor, I mean, I slumped into my seat. You know, it was very disappointing. It was like, you know, watching my Giants lose that playoff game to the Cubs by not holding a ninth inning lead. I was crushed. I staggered out of the room. You know, I picked up my work bag. A couple of people tapped me on the shoulder. You know, get them next year. Great presentation. Ira, what can you do?
So
keep your head up.
Did you feel like you brought your A game? Were you pleased with your presentation? I know you said you felt feeling golden, but did you feel you gave yourself an A+, a B+? How'd you do?
I thought it was a solid A, especially compared to the Dawkins presentation, which was all stat based, and mine was based on a pillar of the iconic defense of its time. Tremendous leader, 2 rings of honors. 4 years in Denver is enough to get him a ring of honor. You know, that's got to mean something.
And you had your own share of stats as well, of course.
You
had the full picture.
You know, big plays in big games for John Lynch. Great quotes. Tremendous quotes. The Dawkins guy had quotes from guys who coached and played with Dawkins. To me, that's negligible. I got quotes from John Madden, you know, Bill Belichick, Tony Gonzalez. I got, you know, Barry Sanders. I got guys that played against John Lynch. That counts double in that room.
Favre, didn't you have Kurt Warner?
I did have Favre. I had Warner. You know, I don't want to get too bogged down. By the way, they put a clock on us. It was a 5-minute clock. It would count down from 5 minutes. It was like a play clock.
So you ignored it?
I noticed, you know, I only went 14th, and a lot of people went over the 5 minutes, and they didn't do anything about it. They just wanted you to be aware of it.
Yeah,
so, you know, once I got up there, I knew I could go an extra 2 minutes. 7 minutes is the sweet spot for me, or at least it has been. And now I'm a 4-time loser. You know, Palantonio calls me the closer, Steve. I got to live up to that kind of reputation.
And Palantonio presented
Paul Tagliabue,
so he didn't close.
Yeah, he was in no mood to talk to me afterwards because he's even more depressed than I am. You can imagine the pressure from the league when you present a former commissioner. But Sal Powell was just unable to get around the concussion issue. It's looming large in Tagliabue's legacy. And I don't mean in a positive light,
sure,
Steve. And he couldn't quite get around that. And ultimately, that doomed Tagliabue. You got to wonder if he's ever going to be back in that room. I think that's the 4th time he's been in there.
So, all right, Ira. So you're feeling good. You like your presentation for Lynch.
I love the comments afterwards.
You like the comments from going around. I know the Hall presenters aren't, they're not really allowed to give play-by-play of what goes on in there and all the discussion, the banter. There is no video. There's no official hall write-up
about
it.
No transcript.
No transcripts. It's not a secret process, but it's a closed process. And, you know, if anyone hasn't read your column, Monday's column on JoeBucksFan.com, you gave a nice glimpse into some of your feelings and thoughts. We don't have to hit on all of them here today of what happened. But so Lynch gets cut to the number 10. He makes the final 10 cut.
Second year in a row.
But Dawkins is Brian Dawkins of the Eagles, first time eligible safety. He's there as well. So you got two safeties in the final cut.
And a safety was already going to go in as the senior candidate.
Kenny Easley. So what's going on? Do you think that at that point, are you thinking Lynch is going to get it? Dawkins will have to wait? Or are you thinking two safeties, I'm screwed? Or what's your vibe there?
My vibe clearly was Lynch is ahead of Dawkins. That was the sense I got in the room. And I'm going to take that as a sign of encouragement next year, because, hey, let's be honest, Dawkins probably going to be back in the room as a final 15. He's not going to drop out, especially because he made the final 10. If he didn't make the final 10, he could have done a Steve Atwater, make a single appearance in the room. Atwater didn't make it this year. He did the year before. But the fact Dawkins made the final 10, so he's got some support. And he was a heck of a player, Steve. We're not going to knock Brian Dawkins. Even Buck fans will admit he was a strong player.
Of course.
He's the main force in a very good Philadelphia team.
So did that kill you? Two safeties? Split the vote? Is it just that simple?
That's what's been told to me by veterans that have been in that room as selectors, Steve, when I ask your question, which is the key question. What the heck happened on Saturday? They said your two guys canceled each other out. And here comes Jason Taylor as a pass rusher, the only pass rusher on the ballot. And in my column, Steve, I list all these pass rushers that have gotten in the last decade, and there's a lot of them.
I was surprised when I forgot that Andre Tippett got in. Andre Tippett? Wasn't he the number two guy in Buffalo?
New England. No,
he wasn't in Buffalo? I'm thinking of somebody else.
No, you're thinking of somebody else. Right. You're thinking of somebody else. But he was a linebacker for the Pats, and he rushed a passer from a 3-4 spot. They love the pass rushers, Steve. That's what's been told to me. Jason Taylor was that guy. Now, next year, I don't think there will be a big-time pass rusher on that ballot. Maybe that helps Lynch. Steve, we'll talk about that later in this podcast, about what's coming up in 2018. Buck fans know that Rondé will be in that room for the first time, I think. But I felt bad, Steve. I still haven't gotten over it. I mean, it's a few days later. I haven't gotten over it.
It's raw. That's why it's making this podcast going to be great. I mean, we're recording this less than 2 days from the vote, and it's a shocker.
I felt so bad. I couldn't call Lynch after I got out of the room. I couldn't call him because, David Baker, the president of the hall, goes around and makes phone calls to the five guys out of the final 10 that don't make it. And then he knocks on the door personally of the five guys that do make it. And I said to myself, let David Baker call Lynch, and then I'll talk to him later. And then, sure enough, Lynch called me. And we commiserated. And, Lynch, he's such a class act that he said, I know you did your best, Ira. People have told me in the past that your presentations are right on. You do one of the best jobs in the room. And he said, all we can do is try again next year. I assume Lynch will be one of the 15 finalists, and there's going to be a lot more to talk about next year, Steve. But right now, my mind is still in that Houston Convention Center, wondering why Jason Taylor got in and John Lynch didn't.
It is a stunner. Now, Jason Taylor, Miami defensive end, who moved on, played with a couple other clubs. In that presentation for Jason Taylor, Ira, and of course you get a preliminary information on all the candidates so you can study up and you're not just going in there blind, listen to somebody present. But when you listen to the Jason Taylor presentation, did anything jump out at you? Did you hear something that said to you, wow, okay, I didn't realize that, I didn't know that, and this makes him more attractive? Was there something that really
grabbed the presenter somehow wangled a quote from Tom Brady, and it was a good one. And Brady, who has been sacked more by Jason Taylor than by any other player. But let's remember they're in the same division, played each other a lot. I think it's 12 or 13 career sacks for Taylor, just against Brady.
Does that matter, though?
Well, but Brady said, you know, of all the guys I went against, he's a no-brainer Hall of Famer. Something like that.
Okay,
I mean, it was
well,
a strong
big.
Quote.
That's
it
powerful.
Was a big from Brady.
Sure.
You know, but, you know, I had Tony Gonzalez, who's going to sail through as a first ballot Hall of Famer, talking about Lynch. There was no weakness in his game. He gets a bum rap, you know, in terms of his pass coverage because he was so good at other things. You know, he played in a day that was built for, you know, in an era that was built for John Lynch. So, you know, I had my own. I had big guns to fire, too. Taylor's presentation was very stat-based, Steve. In that way, it was a little bit like Brian Dawkins. The difference is that he's talking about sacks, and the Dawkins guy is talking about forced fumbles. I mean, it's a difference. You know, now it begs the question, where does this leave Simeon Rice? Steve, you mentioned it. Fair question. Why can't Rice, he can't even get on the list of 25 semifinalists? Yeah, Never mind getting in the room.
Yeah, I took a look, Ira, and I don't have it in front of me, but I believe Simeon Rice has one more double-digit sack season than Jason Taylor. And he's got the ring. Jason Taylor doesn't have the ring. And he's going to have the same incredible kind of quotes. And sacks per game, Rice was better. I mean, this was a more dominant pass rusher. I don't know how phenomenally Jason Taylor played the run, but that's not why he made the Hall of Fame.
We gotta make a little push for Simeon Rice.
Well, that extends to this, Ira. And first, before I get to that point, because there's an important problem that you have coming up here, Mr. Kaufman. But I do want to say that what's not a problem is the vacation deals have been extended at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Ira. It's time for you, after your horrible experience in Houston, it's time to take a vacation. That's what's going on at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Buy with zero down and make zero payments for 3 months. 3 months. Or drive new ATSs at $319 a month, XT5s, $439 a month. Take a vacation, Ira, at Brandon's only luxury dealership. You hear that, Ira?
A deal like that, Steve, might be the only way I can get over the trauma of what happened Saturday in Houston.
Take a vacation at Brandon's only luxury dealership. Visit EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. And, of course, the new offers, Ira, they're all up as well at EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. Your proud presenters. I'm glad they could help make you happen, help get you out to Houston for the great job you did. And I'm not being facetious here, Ira. You laid it out there.
Steve, Lynch's status as the new GM of the 49ers did not come up in the meeting.
Well, I would hope not.
Yeah, did not, and it didn't come up in my presentation.
It was on my list of questions. I mean, it's ludicrous to think that it would.
Yeah.
Really ludicrous. Now, I think a key question that a lot of Hall of Fame followers want to know is you had two players in there, Ira. Dan Fouts, James Lofton, first time that they were in there as participants and voters. Did they change the dynamic here? You think they worked against Lynch somehow?
Well, I'll say this. Fouts spoke up in support of Don Coryell. And is anybody surprised at that? Of course he did.
Nope.
He flourished under Don Coryell. They had a heck of a team, heck of a run. They never got to the big game. They didn't. Remember one year they had to play in the freezing temperatures of Cincinnati. And they had a heck of a team that year. So the Bengals end up in the Super Bowl and the Chargers are out, you know, in minus 20 degrees. And with Air Coryell doesn't work in minus 20 degrees, Steve. That's where you need the running game. So anyway, Fouts spoke up very eloquently about Don Coryell. And in the end, Don Coryell didn't make the final 10. So let's not go overboard with the impact of Fouts and Lofton. They talked frequently. They weren't afraid to talk. Some people asked specifically for their input on some players, and they acknowledged it.
Now, that's interesting. Are certain writers specifically targeted ever for their input? Does anybody say, hypothetically, let's say down the road, Drew Brees, well, bad example, but hypothetically, let's say Matt Ryan is up for Hall of Fame status, and you're in the room. Would a writer or somebody there, voter, ever ask you, say, hey, Ira, you watch Ryan twice a year. You know his game. You followed him. The Bucs played him in the playoffs twice, God willing. What's your take? Does that happen?
That's never happened. That's so, never happened. I've been doing this since 06.
So never writers happened. Are never pinpointed like, hey, hey, Jason Cole.
Are you trying to equate me with James Lofton and Dan Fouts now?
No,
you
just,
know, we all got egos, but that's a stretch, my
I'm
man.
I'm just saying that take a beat writer, you know, take, hey, what's it, Kent Summers out in Arizona?
That's right.
Hey, Kent, you know, you played with...
you covered Warner.
Covered yeah, Kurt yeah. Warner. Did you ever see this and this? That doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen because, first of all, the presenter is a guy that covered the guy. That's number one. Now, if a guy played at two different teams, for example, when I finished with John Lynch, my 7 minutes, the Denver representative, which is an ESPN guy out of Denver, talked about Lynch's time in Denver for a couple of minutes. His leadership, what he meant to that team at that time. They needed a guy like John Lynch. Shanahan reached out to him, and he fulfilled his role. And so that does happen. If a guy played for more than one team.
Right, but nobody...
But no.
The players were sought out. So somebody says, hey, Dan Fouts, tell me about this
guy. As far as your boy Peter King's concerned, who sits at the end, there's no reason to ask Peter King what he thinks about a player because he weighs in on all 15 guys. He does it all the time. That microphone is right in front of Peter King. And at the end of each guy, you know, nine times during the 8 hours, he says, this guy's a Hall of Famer. This guy's a Hall of Famer. Pete, only five can go in. You can't say it about 11 guys.
So he's the bloviator in chief, is what you're saying?
You know, now look.
So wait,
he does not speak from ignorance.
I don't want to take you off course.
Yes,
I don't want to take
yeah,
you off course. Yeah. Back to Lofton and Fouts. So you had voters, guys like yourself, saying, hey, James Lofton, tell me what you think about this guy.
They were vocal.
Gotcha.
They didn't hold anything back. They liked some guys. They took a couple of pot shots at some other guys. And they gauged, you know, some other guys. So I thought it was valuable. Their vote only counts one, just like everybody else, Steve, at the end of the day. I think this is a trend that's going to continue. It's not always going to be Fouts and Lofton. Next year, it could be other people added to the mix as observers. Then the next year, they also vote. But I see the trend for the Hall of Fame itself, Steve, as getting former Hall of Famers more involved. I don't think it's a terrible idea. I wouldn't turn the whole thing over to the Hall of Famers. Because any of our listeners and your readers that think writers are biased, oh boy, wait till you get 20 players in a room. They, you know, you get the Deion Sanders and the Michael Irvins. You know, you'll have 27 more Cowboys in the Hall before you know it. That's just the way it is.
Oh, absolutely, they're biased.
And by the way, they're furious, some of them, furious. About Terrell Owens going 0-for-2 in the Hall. They are furious.
Did he make the Final 10, Ira? Terrell Owens?
He did not make the Final 10.
So he...
That tells you he's a ways away, Steve. I don't know when he's getting in.
Was he there last year as a Final 10?
I think he was.
Fascinating stuff, Ira. Now listen, here we go. Rondé Barber next year is eligible. And you believe he'll be a top 15 finalist.
I do.
Which, definitely not a stretch. Quality name there. Now, if Lynch is going back, which if he's a top 10 this year, why wouldn't he be top 15? Well, you just said that there's this growing groundswell of support and a consistent excitement about pass rushers. Maybe, is this the year Simeon Rice maybe gets in that mix? And then you have $3. No one's going to vote for $2, let alone $3.
Pump those brakes, Isbits. Simeon can't even get on the list of 25. This is the 25 semifinalist.
Right.
So, you know, steps, my man.
Well,
steps.
What's next? What's his next step? Top 25?
Top 25. And then, you know, you make the jump. I'll tell you what, if Simeon gets in the room, he's got a shot. You know, I could make a good case for him. Now, for all you, for all our listeners that are worried about me taking, you know, making potentially two presentations next year, I've made three in the same year.
Sure.
In the past. But you're right, Rondé and Lynch, and you know.
So
you know,
forget about Rice, Rondé, yeah. Lynch. That's going to cancel out. You're going to have guys sitting around there saying $2, two more bucks.
Well,
what is this?
It
Tampa
cancel out to a point, but you know, let's get the third guy in. Stop worrying about getting four in. Get the third guy in. And by the way, and you know this, Steve, their presentations are very, very different. Essentially,
sure. But I'm talking about the reality of the egos and the mindset in there. You know, two Buccaneers, four?
Well,
I don't know.
I'm not here to tell you right now that Rondé and Lynch are both getting in the class of 2018.
Yeah.
I can't say that.
No, you can't.
You know, maybe Rondé makes a dent in year one. Maybe he does. But I'll tell you what, his credentials are outstanding, really outstanding. From a stat-based viewpoint, they're better than Lynch's. I mean, that's just clear. He's done things nobody else has done. His durability is his durability is phenomenal, and that counts. And by the way, Steve, and I don't want to dwell on this because it's a Buck podcast, but with Terrell Davis getting in, it kind of opens a door in terms of longevity. And there's Boselli. Oh, I think Boselli made the Final 10, by the way. He's another guy, which was impressive. First year, made the Final 10. He only, you know, he had five outstanding. And now when I say outstanding, I mean first team All-Pro.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Some people think he was the best tackle, left tackle in football for 5 years. That counts. Davis may be the greatest postseason runner in NFL history. That counts. So if you're going to have a short career, you better be very, very special. And enough writers thought that Terrell Davis was. And Boselli might have the same distinction.
Yeah, it could. It feels like it would clear an opportunity for him. All right, Aris. So you're milling around Houston. You're doing your personal appearances. You're fighting off the groupies and all the women and
the DeKemper preceded me there for 3 days. So Joe Bucks fan had a presence, Steve. And of course, Radio Row was a lot of fun. I spent it all day Thursday on Radio Row. Saw your boy Florio, stopped in with Steve Dumig, the Mad Dog, Nestor from Baltimore, all my guys. Yeah. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's fun. We don't need to tell. I've got not a Nestor story.
I talked to Gil Brandt, and I said, Gil, I'm going in the room in a couple of days. Jerry Jones is one of the contributors. What do you think? You know, of course, Gil Brandt always associated with the Cowboys. Brandt goes, Ira, the man fired me. But he belongs. So it reminded me of Keyshawn. He's an asshole, but he belongs.
Right.
He goes, he fired me, but he belongs. And I tell you what, I changed my mind in that room. That does happen, Steve. I think it's a very good thing, and it shows that, you know, a writer can be open-minded.
You voted for Jerry Jones?
I wasn't really going to vote for Jerry Jones.
Right.
You know, I said, what did he do besides line his own pockets and his own brand? But there was a compelling case made for what he meant to the league. He's very, very powerful. He's very, very influential. And you can't deny that, and so I ended up voting for Jones. And he got in.
Yeah, he did. Now got in through Tagliabue. All right, so now, again, now you're walking around Houston. Hey, what kind of vibe are you getting about the Bucks? People talking about the Bucks? Anybody ask you?
Well,
anybody give you some commentary?
Are you trying to circumvent some of my columns later this week,
no,
Steven?
We can double up.
Well,
we can double
let's
up.
Put it like
give
this.
Me something.
Let's
give me some juice.
Like let's put it like this. I was sitting two seats down from Dan Fouts. There was one guy between us. And, you know, you take your bathroom breaks or whatever. You can't get out of the building, but you can get out of the room.
Keep it clean, Kaufman.
Keep it clean. So I had a conversation with Fouts. It was not by the urinal. It was not. It was out in the hallway. And we had a couple minutes. So I said, hey, what are your views on the Bucks? Winston. Love Winston. Love him. Kid's going to get nothing but better than better. He also threw some accolades towards Mariota, and why shouldn't he? And he just said, hey, those are the first two guys taken in that draft. They're both going to be outstanding. I love Winston's leadership. I love it. And, some other guys that I'll talk about later this week.
Oh, give us another one. Come on, Calvin. Not everybody's reading your comments.
Ran into Drew Brees. You know, the guy has seen Winston now up close and personal 4 times. Of anybody, Drew Brees knows what a great quarterback looks like.
Was that in the urinal?
That was also not in the urinal.
That was on
Radio Row.
Excellent.
And they all love Winston. I mean, Winston gets high marks, Steve, and Brees thinks the Bucks are a team on the come. And why wouldn't you? 9-7, beat the Saints, split with the Saints, the Bucks are highly regarded. Gil Brandt. Thinks look out for the Bucks now. Having said that, you know, you got the defending NFC champion Falcons. They're not going anywhere. And, they played a heck of a game.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl. Just to run one thing by you with that, Ira. So, you know, you're getting the vibe, Drew Brees, Dan Fouts, and I'm sure there are others because I know you don't like to share all your secrets. What is it about his leadership? Is it just the theatrics? Is it the being so out there? Is it just his age that impresses them that he's so commanding at the end?
I think it's his passion, which comes across, jumps across, even if you're not in the building, comes across, and his confidence. You get the impression he could be down 28-3 going into the fourth quarter. And you know, I'm not trying to compare him to Tom Brady, Steve. I'm not. Even the wildest Buck fan wouldn't dare do that publicly. But he's got the same kind of confidence. You know, as Belichick said, my guys compete. And that's what Belichick loves the most. And that's why I think even a Belichick has to acknowledge that Winston is going to have a heck of a future.
I got you. Ira, your podcast is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. 70-plus years of Ed Morris, fantastic family dealership across Florida. EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com and EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com is where you want to start your car shopping search.
Steve, there was also a little sense in Houston from some guys that, and we're not breaking any news here, the Bucks aren't quite there yet. They need some more help, and that's why you know, you with your wild spending spree in free agency, we'll see what happens. A couple of people, I ran Adrian Peterson's name past. They thought it was absurd, and they didn't even say if you could get him on your terms. They didn't think it was a good fit.
Absurd.
They think Peterson's using the Bucks like he's using some other teams, and players do that. Steve, there's no question about it.
Yeah, and, you know, he might have just been being honest, but in an effort to use those names.
Wants to maximize his value.
Because the Bucks are a good fit for him if he ends up getting cut and doing that. Absurd. I don't know about that. I mean, would you rather have Charles Sims running through the tackles? Or,
you sound like the Kemper.
Well, I like Charles Sims.
Steve, what are you going to do to lift me out of my depression here? I'm still down. What are you going to do?
I don't have much for you, Ira. I mean, it's a devastating shot. I know how much work you put into getting John Lynch in the Hall of Fame. It's round four. This was felt like the gimme year, the slam dunk year. You had plenty of ammo. You had fresh ammo. You got him to the final 10. Bottom line is, it's a crazy political process that you're only one piece. You can't beat everybody over the head. You just can't do it. And
I felt this was his year, Steve.
It would be nice
this was his year.
If Team Glazer gave you 1,000 in small bills, one for each voter, you know, 50 grand, pass it out at the urinal, you know, you'd be much more popular,
Steve,
in the bathroom.
It's funny you mention that because I got to say, I can't fault the people that reached out. And there were a lot of them. For instance, Rich McKay. You know, he's on another organization. He called people on John Lynch's behalf. Rod Marinelli called the Dallas representative, saying you got to vote for Lynch. He deserves it. There were some other people that were involved. Derek Brooks is a big Lynch supporter.
Sure.
You know, when you get a phone call from Derek Brooks, it means something, Steve.
Or at least you pick it up or call him back, right?
You know, now, you know, that happens with other candidates, too. I'm not saying that the Brian Dawkins, you know, representative probably got some guys to talk up about Dawkins. But to me, Lynch embodies, and I don't want to get too carried away with this, Steve, with the stars and stripes, but, you know, the Hall has set out some kind of, general... you know, sort of criteria of what looks like a Hall of Famer. It's a little vague, but they talk about things like leadership, courage, integrity. Steve, Lynch embodies all these things. And you know what's kind of interesting? We're going to talk more about this later in the year, Steve. But on first glance, and I know this sounds a little bit crazy, but Steve, a class where Ray Lewis is going to sail through, and Randy Moss, I would say, has a very good chance of getting in, both as first-time eligibles.
Sure.
So just think about it. Randy Moss and Ray Lewis are your headliners for the class of 2018. Wouldn't it be nice to have John Lynch in there, sort of to symbolize everything that's kind of right about the NFL, besides being a heck of a player? You don't put Lynch in because he's a flag waver.
Right.
You know, first you got to be a heck of a player. But I think we've already established
it
that.
It sounds nice, but he he's deserving. We're not breaking down who the 15 finalists are yet for next year. We don't know. I'm sure Lynch will be there. But
he's also a guy that's going to be
sledding.
He will have waited the longest, Steve. And while the bylaws don't say anything about longevity, I think that counts. I think that's going to be in the minds of some people. And, Steve, I know Brian Urlacher is also thrown into that, you know, megastar group. Some of the early people I've talked to do not think Brian Urlacher is a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer. But we were saying the same things about Jason Taylor, Steve. We were.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, you know, all bets are off at this point. Ira, Super Bowl. But, you know, you've been covering the NFL since 1937. What was that yesterday, Sunday?
It was a coronation. What do you think it was? Now, look.
Did the Falcons choke that thing away or what? How do you look at it?
I'm not going to keep my main focus on what the Falcons didn't do. Shanahan made a couple of bonehead calls after one of the great catches in Super Bowl history by Julio Jones. You know, which gets overlooked now in the wake of what happened.
Talk about on the ropes.
You know, they were at the 20, and a field goal puts them up by 11 with 3 minutes left. It's probably game over. Well, what happens? You know, a sack, a holding penalty. You talk about brutal holding penalties. Oh, my God. They're out of field goal range, and, you know, Brady gets the ball in a one-possession game. I'm going to dwell on what the heck the Pats did. That second half, make it the fourth quarter, because they were down 28-3, right, Steve? So nobody's ever seen a fourth quarter like that. I mean, they probably got 12 first downs, 200 yards, and 25 points. Steve, that never happens.
It never happens, which is why, Ira, this is a historic choke job. Come on.
Always going for the negative.
Tony Dungy goes to Twitter, Mr. Dungy. Doesn't do this kind of stuff, goes to Twitter and says, why don't you run up the middle three times and kick a field goal? Tony Dungy.
Of course, Steve, of course Atlanta helped New England along the way. But nobody else could have done it except Tom Brady. No, nobody could have done that. Four straight drives of touchdowns. I mean, it was remarkable.
Remarkable.
And he was getting battered the whole game, Steve. The Atlanta pass rush was very, very good.
It was remarkable, Ira, but it speaks to the choke job.
Again, with the choke job.
Three knees and Matt Bryant. How hard is that? Take a knee three times, Matt Bryant. You're up.
Well, they ran on first down. I think they lost a yard, and then they got a little greedy. You're not going to stop Kyle Shanahan from getting that job, Steve. He's getting the job in San Fran. I don't care what you say about a choke.
You're going to be up two scores with 2 minutes left. What's going on? What planet are we on? It's the Super Bowl.
Well, nerves got to him, and it was his first time in a Super Bowl.
Wild.
But, you know, do you refuse to give credit to Belichick and Brady?
Look, I don't like the Belichick, so it's hard for me to. But
no deflated football. There's no controversy about what happened.
That was tremendous.
By the way, Steve, I want to make this point.
Back-to-back two-point plays, conversions?
When you couple it, Steve, with his fourth quarter against Seattle, and I was at that game, he went 10-for-10 in that game. You know, people talk about the Malcolm Butler play, and it was the play of the ages. But Brady went 10-for-10 against Seattle. Seattle's got a little bit of a defense, Steve, better than Atlanta's. And we saw what he did last night. So, Steve, when the game's on the line, biggest stage, I know he lost twice to the Giants, but it took two miraculous plays for the Giants to beat him twice. Otherwise, the guy's got seven rings, Steve. Brady, Brady, Brady. You can never beat this guy down, no matter what. He's the greatest. He's probably the greatest competitor I've seen, other than Michael Jordan.
What's the lesson in this Super Bowl for the Buccaneers?
The lesson is, when you get there, you better cash in, because look at Carolina. They figure they're going to be there plenty more years. We don't know that. And Atlanta blew a mammoth opportunity. They'll never live this down, Steve. They'll never live this down. They'll never have an offense like that again. Shanahan's gone, possibly replaced by Raheem Morris.
Shocker, that would be.
You know, and maybe that's a springboard if Raheem does a credible job for another head coaching job for Raheem down the line, and he'll be a much better coach down the line. than he was the first time.
I think he might actually end up in the modern era of the NFL, the first time a guy has gone from defensive coordinator to offensive coordinator.
That's a great point.
Hey, you could be presenting him for the Hall of Fame in 10 years.
No assistant coach has ever been in. No assistant coach. But a terribly blown opportunity for your Falcons. By the way, in the issues of full interest, of full disclosure.
Yes, you won the bet. Everybody heard the bet.
I've not heard. Now, you know what? Winning that bet, it still doesn't make up for what happened on Saturday.
I hope not.
I'm still in a funk, Steve. I can't sleep. I won't say I can't eat, because you know that's a lie. But I can't sleep, and I'm going to run into John Lynch one of these days, and I'm going to give him a big hug and say, I'll do better next time around.
All right, Ira, tonight, have a little extra schnapps. Word on the street is you're going to be joining us with Steve Dumig on our Joe Bucksfan.com hour. We'll fill the house over there Wednesday at 5 o'clock on WDAE. AM 620.
And Brooks will be going out the door, and then I'll be going in. And yeah, Brooks is going to say, what the heck happened, Kaufman?
We'll harass
him. And I better have an answer for 55.
We'll harass Mr. Brooks, as we always do. Definitely get there early. Maybe they'll even bring you in there if they want to beat you up a little bit. yeah, I would definitely get there early. All right, Ira, your podcast, available on iTunes. You can search Buccaneers, Bucks, Ira Kaufman. Same thing on podbean.com.
We now turn our interest to the 2017 Buccaneers, Steve, and there's plenty going on.
Oh, our interest is always there. Every single day, Ira, as we march toward free agency, which 33 days from this podcast, 33, whatever. It's
and
right
we
there.
And we will be represented at Indianapolis, right, Steven?
We'll be at the scouting combine doing our thing, and the game never ends here. So, Ira, hang in there, man. Have some extra schnapps, like I said, tonight.
What about if you and I sit down with Joel Glazer in March at the owners' meetings? Am I going to be terrorized by Mr. Glazer?
I don't know if I let you in on the meeting. I don't know. I think we need separate times.
And Ed Glazer's still on my back about Simeon Rice. I got a lot to answer for right now.
You got problems, Ira. You got problems. Work on that, Ira. We'll see you next time.